All the times we would go out and he would go with my family or our family would be with him and they'd be saying, "Hey, that's my Uncle Courtney." The looks people would give us. That's all right. I do want to thank Fairhaven. I do want to thank everyone from the past that helped start, and the ones we would say from the beginning, the Halls and those. And then those that when I was here that helped, and then those that are here now. Do seriously just want to say thank you. That there is a place that my kids can go to college, that I can look and find a place where they're not going to have contemporary musicians such as Steve Green come and sing a concert at their church. But it's happening. It's happening all over. And so definitely be careful. And again, I want to give God the glory, God the thanks for raising up men and women, giving them the ability just to stand firm and to do what's right. Interesting thing happened about 2 years ago. I came and forgot my suits. And I looked for a young man such as myself, of modest built, good looking. And I said, if I could just find someone like that and get their suit, I'd be fine. I'd borrow a suit. And I looked and I looked. I found one. Right, Mr. Haiti? I found a suit. Well, we were driving here and about a halfway out of Quincy. We're almost to the Pittsfield exit there. And my wife said, "Did you get the suits that were hanging up?" I said, "What?" "Yeah, your suits were hanging up." "No, I didn't get them." "Did any of the kids?" "No." "We had to turn back and get—" "I almost had to borrow your suit again." And I didn't want that to happen. So I do thank, again, folks like Mr. Haiti that, you know, driving a bus when I was here in Bible college and just the different ones. I know there's not time to name everybody. But again, just thank the Lord for what's going on. Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. We're going to preach on Gideon. I found this great message online this morning. I want to thank you, Dave, for posting your outlines on. I forgot my message at home. That's Judges chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. We're just going to look at a, you know, everyone knows Gideon. Everyone knows, you know, probably the more familiar aspect of Gideon with the woolen fleece and, you know, letting it be wet around it and not on the fleece, then letting it be wet on the fleece and not around, and then the taking the 32,000 men and going down to 300 and defeating the Midianites. But we kind of want to back up just a little bit when we talk about Gideon and see, why was Gideon able to do that? How did that happen in his life? Because obviously, not too long before that, nothing like that was even taking place in Israel. There was no deliverance. There was no great victories. There was nothing but oppression. There was nothing but the Midianites oppressing the nation of Israel because of their problems. And we turn to Judges chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. It says, "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them dens, which are in the mountains, and caves, and strongholds. And so it was when Israel had sown that the Midianites came up, and the Amalekites and the children of the east, even they came up against them. And they encamped against them and destroyed the increase of the earth, till thou comest unto Gaza, and left no sustenance for Israel, neither sheep nor ox nor ass. For they came up with their cattle and their tents, and they came as grasshoppers for multitude. For both they and their camels were without number, and they entered into the land to destroy it. And Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, that the Lord sent a prophet unto the children of Israel, which said unto them, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I brought you up out of Egypt, brought you forth out of the house of bondage, and I delivered you out of the hand of the Egyptians, and out of the hand of all that oppressed you, drave them from before you, and gave you their land. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God, fear not the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. The reason the Midianites were in their predicament was because of simple disobedience, because of sin. The reason Gideon was doing what Gideon was doing as far as where he was at in the wine press, threshing out the wheat, keeping it hidden from the enemy, was because of Israel's sin. The reason for Gideon's blessings later on, something had to happen here first. And the same thing we can compare to our lives, that something has to happen in our life first if we're going to see the blessings of God in our life. You just because you're saved, just because you know Jesus Christ as Savior, man, there's great blessings in that. But that doesn't mean the blessing of God, the hand of God is on your life. And we're going to look at that just a little bit here with the time that we have. Let's pray. Father, we just ask that you would give me the words to say, Lord, and that you would speak to hearts, that you would convict. And that, Lord, we would hear from you this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. We just want to keep it simple. This isn't going to be anything new, nothing really funny. This is just very simple and basic. But the first thing we want to see is that sin removes God's blessings and is the reason for the need of revival. There's no doubt that Israel needed reviving at this time. There's no doubt that, as we will see, Gideon and even Gideon's family needed revival. God warned Israel about sin and its consequences. In Deuteronomy 31, 16 through 19, the Bible says, And the Lord said unto Moses, Behold, thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, and this people will rise up and go a-whoring after the gods of the strangers of the land, whither they go to be among them. And he's talking about Gideon's day. And will forsake me and break my covenant which I have made with them. Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day. And notice what he says. I will forsake them and I will hide my face from them. And they shall be devoured and many evils and trouble shall befall them. So that they will say in that day, Are not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us? And I will surely hide my face in that day for all the evils which they shall have wrought, in that they are turned unto other gods. Now therefore, write ye this song for you, and teach it the children of Israel. Put it in their mouths, that this song may be a witness for me against the children of Israel. So important was this that God had Moses, and he said, write a song about it. I do like music. I like good godly music. But unfortunately, growing up the way I did, in the circumstances that I grew up in, boy, there's a lot of music that I wish I hadn't heard. There's music that I haven't heard, since I was in, 7th, 8th grade, and you walk into a grocery store and it's playing, and you know every single word. It's like, man, I haven't heard this in 30 years. Before me and the guys and the band were playing, I haven't heard this. No, we didn't have no band, but it's amazing how that music does that. And so he was using that to try to get them to understand, if you forsake me, I'm going to forsake you. And I know sometimes we don't think that that's possible. Well, God hasn't forsaken us. God said he will forsake us. In other words, God's hand of blessing will be taken off of us, our lives, our ministry, our families, if we forsake him. But bless God, God warns before he judges. Before God's judgment comes, he warns. And what did he do? He sent a prophet. Sometimes we don't see that in the story of Gideon. We don't think about it. But God sent a prophet to warn the Israelites that this has come upon you because you've forsaken me and you haven't obeyed my voice. It's important that we're in church for the messages. It's important that we come to special meetings such as this that the church will put together. It's important that you're in your Bibles, reading and getting from God what you need. Why? God's going to warn you about your sin. God's going to speak to you about your sin. Not all our sin will be the same. It's all going to be, you know, your sin, my sin. But God's going to deal with you about it. And God's going to use your pastor and the preaching and the church to preach about it. And God's going to use the Bible reading and your daily devotions to warn you about it. And He's going to give you an opportunity to repent. He's going to give you an opportunity before He judges. Listen to your pastor, your youth pastor. Listen to your parents. It may just be a warning. You may say, well, my parents, they're square, man. Is that a word they even use today? I don't know. That's a word they use back. Man, my parents, they just don't understand. They're just not with technology. Mine won't let me have a phone. Well, good. You don't need it. It's amazing how we got along, you know, since this is 40 years of college. It's funny how we got along with the payphone in the dorms. We didn't need cell phones. My parents wanted to call, or they wanted me to call them. You know, call collect. What's that? I don't know. We didn't have unlimited data. It's ridiculous. But God will be warning. He warned Israel. And you take that same warning where He says, I'll forsake you, I'll hide your face from my face from you. What does He say in Isaiah 59, 1 and 2? It's a familiar verse. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you that He will not hear. The reason being your prayers aren't being answered is because your sins. The sins that God is trying to warn you about, the sins that God is trying to tell you about, you've pushed them aside. You've pushed those warnings aside. Gideon had grown up hearing all the stories of old, maybe from his dad, his grandpa, his great-grandpa, the old and wise men of the nation of Israel. And again, I'm just trying to picture, put myself in Gideon's place. I don't think the man was scared, afraid. I think he was pretty smart. And there he is, threshing wheat by the wine press to avoid the Midianites. But what's he thinking about himself? I mean, it'll show up in some of these verses, but maybe what is he thinking? As he's doing this, why do I have to do this here? Why can't I do it out in my backyard? Why is this happening to us? Why are the Midianites doing this to us? If God did all these wonderful miracles in the past, why isn't He doing them now? If Dad and Grandpa and Great-Grandpa would tell us all about these great and wonderful miracles and acts that happened, why aren't they happening now? If God was so mighty back then, why is He not mighty today? Where are the blessings of God? But God had forsaken them. Why is all this befallen us? As He says in verse number 13, Gideon said unto him, the Lord had come down and spoke to him, Gideon, thou mighty man of valor. And he just, talking to me. And he says to the Lord, oh my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all the miracles which our fathers told of us, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord, notice what he says, the Lord hath forsaken us. The same wording. He knew it just wasn't bad luck. He knew it just wasn't, you know, our land's better than their land. Maybe they're going through famine and so they're just coming up. No, he knew God had forsaken them. Don't think for a moment he didn't know about the Baal altar in his father's backyard. Don't think for a moment that as he threw the ball in the backyard, maybe with his brothers, that he didn't go running through the groves when his brother threw it over his head. And there it lands in the groves of Baal. He knew about it. He knew God had forsaken them. Why are the Midianites oppressing us? Well, Jesus will get his answer. Jesus will answer Gideon's question soon. Secondly, just realize your sin is the first. Realizing your sin is the first step to revival. The first step to Israel seeing God's blessings. The first step to Gideon seeing the blessings of God was to realize it's our sin that's doing this. In Judges chapter 6, verses 12 and 13, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, Lord, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And then we just read that other verse where Gideon's questioning him, why isn't the Lord with us? Why has he forsaken us? The reason for all of the oppression and lack of miracles was the sin of Israel. For God's not blessing Israel was their sin. And Gideon had to realize this if he was going to be helped. If he was going to see revival in his own life. If he was going to see something change. We know it's the first step of salvation. Too many quick praying and quick dealing preachers or soul winners kind of glance over the idea of sin. The folks realizing their sin, that's the first step of salvation. Realizing that they're a sinner before God, that term born again. We could say the ultimate revival is when one receives Christ as Savior. And if we truly want to know why God's hand of blessing is not on us, or on our church, or on our family, the way it should be, just realize there's sin holding it back. I have to look at my life and say, boy, why isn't God blessing this area of our ministry, or that area, or this part of my life? I would probably say 100% of the time it comes back to me and it says there's sin somewhere. And when you pray hard enough and ask God hard enough, He'll show it to you. We don't need a new method. Well, maybe it's a new method. Maybe I need to come at it from a different approach. Maybe if I give more effort and understand that may be the sin. The sustainer's banquet. I don't think it was hit as much, but as Brother Caleb was preaching, he mentioned slothfulness. Slothfulness in the ministry is a sin. We just need the understanding that sin is the major problem. To do this, we must be humble and realize that without God, there's no power. Without God, there's no blessing. There's no help. We can give lip service. We can go through the motions, and it's so easy. We can say, I'm soul winning. We could say, I'm doing this ministry. I'm doing that ministry. I'm teaching a Sunday school class. I'm running a bus route. I'm doing what God wants me to do. But doing it and doing it with God's power are two different things. In Judges chapter 6, verses 14 through 16, and the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. Very similar to what Saul thought when he was first anointed king. I'm small in Benjamin. My father's house is the smallest. And that's the way Gideon thought. I'm nothing. My family's nothing. How is this going to come about? How am I going to help Israel? God said, you'll do it, but I'll do it for you. Gideon needed the power of God with him. We need the power of God with us. If we're going to have a church that brings honor and glory to God, we need His power. If we're going to have a Sunday school class or a junior church class that's blessed, you're going to need God's power. If you want a bus route that regularly sees children coming and being faithful and making decisions to trust God as Savior, or maybe to go off into full-time service after they get saved, you're going to need God's power. If you want a family that serves and lives for God from young until old age, that runs with God and not runs away from God, you're going to need to trust His Word and claim His promises and have His power. When God goes with us and empowers us, His work gets done and His blessings fall. It can't be done any other way. For sake of time, you can go into Acts chapter 2 and the power of Pentecost. They did what the Lord told them to do. They prayed, the Holy Spirit came down. Peter preached, and 3,000 souls were saved. And I'm not saying that we're going to see 3,000 souls saved, but we will see people saved in our ministry. We'll see people baptized and added to the church. We'll see children saved in our classes and on our bus routes. We'll see families living for God instead of bailing on God. We'll see God's hand when we do God's work, God's way, and God's power. It's the only way to see His blessings. And so we come toward this aspect. God says, Gideon, you're going to do a wonderful thing. You're going to deliver Israel. He can't see how it's going to happen. But now we get to the point, why did the blessings come? Sin must be dealt with and destroyed. Get the sin out. Get the sin out. God will bless. Turn to verses 25 through 28, Judges chapter 6. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God upon the top of this rock in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt offering with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. And so it was, because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he would not do it, or could not do it by day, that he did it by night. And when the men of the city arose early in the morning, behold, the altar of Baal was cast down, the grove was cut down that was by it, and the second bullock was offered upon the altar that was built. Folks, this was just Gideon's household. Who knows how many more houses around Israel had altars to Baal, had groves to Baal, were worshiping other gods other than Baal. But God was going to use Gideon. And folks, we could draw that to ourselves. You know, we can look around and look at others and say, oh, that's the reason. They're the reason we're not seeing blessing, and we're missing our lives. I'm missing my life. Before Midian was even destroyed, before God even dealt with the woolen fleece, before Gideon did that, before the 32,000 were cut down to 300, the sin had to be dealt with. Gideon knew God had forsaken Israel. He knew he was nothing without God. He knew the Midianites were oppressing them, but as of yet, the sin problem was not dealt with. Before the lack of God's blessing could be resolved, the sin had to be specifically addressed and dealt with. And that's what we see happening here. Before God could destroy the Midianites, Gideon had to destroy his sin. The only reason for Midianite oppression was the sin of idolatry. Take care of the idolatry, and God would take care of the Midianites. And what's that doing? I was trying to put it in words and come up with the right words, but many times we want to address the symptoms and not the problem. No, address the problem. God will take care of the symptoms. Take care of the idolatry. God will take care of the Midianites. So the problem wasn't the Midianites at all. It was the idolatry. You can look at many different ways Gideon could have answered the Lord back. He could have said, well, Lord, it's not my problem. It's my father's. Why don't you deal with him? I didn't build it. He could have said, well, wait a minute, Lord. Can't we discuss this? He didn't do that. You notice that there is no hesitation. He did it. God said, do it. Gideon did it. How many times when God speaks to us, and God will speak to us this week, God will speak to you at your home church come Sunday. God will speak to you tomorrow in your devotions. How many times do we automatically and quickly respond as Gideon did? With no hesitation, with no talking back, he just did it. We don't see him getting permission from his father. We don't see him questioning God, saying, God, it's my dad's, I need permission. He just did it because God told him to. Many times we'll look around for someone else to blame for our failures. Well, the reason the church isn't being blessed, the reason my bus route's not being blessed, the reason my class, it's somebody else. When all we really need is a mirror. Just look into the mirror. When did revival come to Gideon? It wasn't when 300 men broke up into 100 each, into three groups, and surrounded the Midianite army and did the whole thing. It was when the angel of the Lord spoke to Gideon, and Gideon obeyed. When he was seriously concerned about why God had forsaken him. And again, I guess that's one thing. Are we concerned about why God has maybe forsaken us, or his hand of blessing is not blessing us like it should? Oh, we may know there's a little sin. We may know there's something in our lives. Maybe our attitude isn't completely right with the staff, with the church, with God. But we just kind of overlook it. And what we say is, that can't possibly be the reason. Gideon could have said, well, that's not me, that's my dad. That can't possibly be the reason. When he was seriously concerned why God had forsaken him, and when he found out, he did something about it. Revival came. When the angel of the Lord told him what to do about the sin, and he did it. When a man in his weakness turns to God in his strength, deals with his sin, allows God to work in him through obedience, revival will happen. Okay, revival isn't the defeat of the Midianites. It's what God does with us before that. It's dealing with God beforehand. Revival was not Gideon proving God with a woolen fleece. 32,000 men being pared down to 300 to defeat the host of the Midianites. The most important part of this story is the fact that Gideon knew where the lack of God's blessing upon Israel came from. He knew there was a lack of it. And when that reason was brought before him and revealed by God, he dealt with it and obeyed. After sin was out of the way, God could empower Gideon. He could bring back his blessing upon his people, especially upon Gideon. Folks, I believe that God would do this to each and every one of us. You know, we could look at America and say, man, America's gone. I believe God can bring revival because he's God. But I definitely know God can bring revival to individuals. And that God can bring revival to churches. Are you willing to face God? Are you willing for God to speak to you, to confront you, and say, here's the reason why I'm not blessing your church. Here's the reason why I'm not blessing your family in this area, in that area. When Gideon was notified of the sin, he didn't blame anyone else. He dealt with it. Are you lacking God's blessing? Do you want his blessing upon your life? That is a question. Do we want God's blessing? Or do we just want to go through our Christian life happy just to be where we're at? Happy that we're not out doing drugs. Happy that we're not in some liberal church. Just sitting, filling a pew, and that's it. Just happy. Do you want his blessing on your life, on your family? Men? On your wife, on your children? See, being in a good church isn't good enough. It's being right with God in a good church. You want God's blessing in your ministry? Do you want revival? Deal with your sin. Deal with God. And then obey God when he tells you what it is. And then watch God do something. When we get out of the way, and our sin's out of the way, watch what God can do. Let's pray. Father, we